talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn. Sooner or later, gotta
cut you down. Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits, and all points of view are welcome. Remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. You're going right to the front lines of history in the making. I hope everybody had a very, very great holiday weekend and great Christmas. Good to be back on the air. After we were off the air, after we broke for the weekend, the January 6th Commission issued its report. I wanted to talk about that because it has implications about what's going to happen in this coming presidential race. It also has implication for what's going to happen very quick. They issued a 160-page summary. There are about 17 findings, core findings. The major one, I agree with it. I think everybody listening, Democrat or Republican, have to agree with it. That Donald Trump was the central cause of the January 6th attack. That was an attack on law enforcement. It was an attack on our Capitol. It was an attack on police officers. They were beaten up. They were hit with poles. One was almost trampled to death, Mike Fanone, until he said, I have four children, four daughters, and a couple of them spared him. A woman was trampled to death. Another woman was shot. Another guy committed suicide, cop. There are more than 140 cops who were badly injured. Michael Fanone, the guy that was almost trampled to death, had a brain injury and a heart attack, and he had to retire. You know, you do that to police officers anywhere else in the country, these are major felonies. You're going to go to jail a long time, preferably the rest of your life. These clowns exult over it. Clowns in hate radio exult over it. Clowns in hate TV exult over it. Tucker Carlson, people like that. Well, here, I'm going to boil down the four principal findings that I want to talk about, and I think they lead, without a doubt, in my view, I do not see how Donald Trump doesn't get criminally charged with this. First of all, they found that Trump knew that his actions were illegal when he pressured Pence to say that he was going to overturn the election. Trump knew that his actions were illegal. Secondly, Trump unlawfully pressured state officials and legislators to overturn the elections in their swing states. In Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Georgia, Arizona, Nevada. Third. What he did was, he was the one who oversaw the effort to gin up a system of fake electoral certificates to send to Congress and to the National Archives. These were fraudulent certificates of fake electors. And finally, he did not order out the National Guard to put a stop to the violence against the police officers and against the Capitol. You know, everybody on hate radio says, well, Nancy Pelosi should have called out the National Guard. She did not have the authority or jurisdiction to. They asked Trump to do it. He refused to do it. Finally, it was Pence who called in some enforcement. Trump refused to do it. Now, think about this. In the abstract, you have an insurrection against the federal government. The Capitol is attacked. More than 140 police officers have to take disability leave. They're beaten. They're dragged down the stairs by their ankles with their heads bouncing off the stairs. You know, if you do that to a lot of people, they're going to get a subdural hematoma. They're going to get cerebral damage. Even a young, healthy guy is going to get, could get cerebral damage. You trample an officer to you're about to kill him, to you ask to plead that he has four daughters to spare him. You set up a circumstance where law enforcement has to shoot somebody as they're coming in to kill a congressman, and they shoot a woman, an insurrectionist. Another one got trampled to death by the insurrection mob itself. They fashioned poles into spears, and they built a gallows before January 6 to hang Mike Pence. It was there. I saw it, and you saw it on TV. You don't build a gallows like that in 2 minutes. They went there to murder the vice president. They went there to murder Nancy Pelosi. They went through the hall saying, oh, Nancy. They come around a corner and they'd seen Mike Pence or Nancy Pelosi, they would have murdered them. And they would have murdered any congressman. And what? We're debating whether somebody should do something about this? I'm not talking about the clowns that went in there. Many of them, the Oath Keepers, the Proud Boys, knew exactly what they were doing. They marched in military stack formation through the crowd. You can see it on the video. Everybody's milling around, and these guys, military gear, single file, stack formation going through. They were taught that in military training. They were there to kill somebody. They were there to kill somebody in our capital. And what we're talking about, well, should something be done about the guys that set this up? And everybody in hate radio is going, well, nobody set it up. What do you mean nobody set it up? Well, Trump didn't set it up. Giuliani didn't set it up. Mo Brooks didn't set it up. Don Jr. didn't set it up. Eastman didn't set it up. But hey, they all gave speeches saying, go up there and do it. Well, First Amendment. Well, no, not First Amendment. No, not First Amendment. You can't threaten to kill people, federal officials, and call it First Amendment. If you threaten that against the President of the United States, you go to prison. And any federal official, you should go to prison. So why is Trump at large? Trump is at large because Merrick Garland is very cautious. He has now appointed a special prosecutor, Jack Smith, I think ostensibly over the issue of Trump stealing classified documents, which apparently he has already or is trying to convey to Russia to pay off debts. And maybe he's going to give everything to him. Because Trump, quote, announced for president, end quote. Therefore, it's, quote, political, end quote. Therefore, we have to have a, quote, special prosecutor, end quote, which is Jack Smith is a Republican. Because Jack Smith was appointed an assistant U.S. attorney in Tennessee by Donald Trump himself. If they do not prosecute this, they will not prosecute any violent attempt to overthrow an election and our democracy. It's as simple as that, and they've got to do it. Now, there are two reasons why Donald Trump is running for president. One reason is he hopes that, well, if he gets deep into it, get after the new year, into 23, maybe there's a debate, maybe there's something. It becomes tougher politically to indict him. No, it doesn't. If you commit a felony, you get indicted. It's as simple as that. It's not political. Secondly, he's doing it to raise money. He keeps saying how everybody hates him, send him money, and he's made millions of dollars. Every time he sends an email out, he makes millions of dollars. It's like falling off a log for the guy. And there is a solution to that. And there's a fellow named Bill Hollihan. He's an economist. He calls into the show a fair amount. He's the former chairman of the economics department at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. He's a great economist. And he is writing an article, which I'm really looking forward to reading, on ranked choice voting. I had been skeptical about ranked choice voting. He thinks it's essential now, certainly in the Republican primaries, to keep Trump from being nominated. Here's his theory, and I agree with him. Whether the Republicans in the states they control will put it in for their primaries is a different story. Under ranked choice voting, you saw up in Alaska, Lisa Murkowski and Mary Peltola got elected, a moderate and a Democrat, because of ranked choice voting. What you do is you count up the votes you got for first place. If it's not over 50%, people put in a second choice and you count those for you and so on. It keeps out the nuts. It keeps out the nuts on the right and the left. That's essential here because Trump has the backing of about 30% of the Republican Party, maybe 25, maybe 35. He's never going to have a majority again of the Republican Party, but he doesn't need it. 2016, there were 17 candidates. Remember Jeb Bush and Ted Cruz and all the rest of them? And Trump would win with a plurality. But the rules in the Republican nominating process are that a plurality gets all the all the delegate votes for the state. So all he needs is 30% of the vote if the next guy only has 28% of the vote. Democrats apportion it by showing so that if somebody gets 30%, he gets 30%. If he gets 28%, number two, he gets 28%. Keeps it alive at the convention. Well, the other thing is Trump wins a couple of early primaries with plurality. And Bill Hollihan pointed out, and it's true, that translates into money and free TV because everybody, oh, this guy's ahead. So then they donate to him. He gets free TV time. And everybody else starts to drop out. Trump could end up as the nominee. Now, Joe Biden will beat him, no question in my mind, but why take the risk? So to you Republicans out there who are listening, you claim you don't like ranked choice voting, it'll save your party this time. Because if this clown continues to run, even if he's indicted, the indictment will take a while to play out. The trial will take a while to play out. And he's on the ballot, he will get 25 or 30% of the vote. And the various other sad characters that you have, DeSantis, oh my God. Paulie, Cotton, Cruz, real lowlifes. Every one of them a lowlife. They're not going to get Jack. They're not going to get squat. And then Trump could sneak his way in and get nominated. And I'll tell you what, we're not putting up with that anymore. Nobody is putting up with that anymore. So there you have it. Up to date, we're going to see what's happening as we get into January and February of the coming year. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more to talk about. A lot of news being made right after the break. Gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. There's a fascinating fight within the Republican Party developing. It's a civil war. We've talked about it a little. But it's really come home to roost in the House of Representatives. Kevin McCarthy wants to be Speaker. He wants to be Speaker so bad, he sold the soul, really. I mean, this is a guy, the day of the insurrection, called Donald Trump in the White House, said, you've got to do something, call these guys off. And Donald Trump said to him, well, Kevin, apparently they care more about their country than you do. Then McCarthy got up on the floor of the House of Representatives, and I've seen the video. You've seen it, too. And he denounced what happened. He said, we know who's behind this. It's Trump, and that's the end of him. But then he got scared. A week later, he started to read the polls. And he realized that a big chunk of the Republican Party didn't care, that they supported Trump, that he got really scared and he sucked up to Trump. And he denied he said those things. And a cock crowed. He denied he said those things. This guy's bad news. He went down to Mar-a-Lago to get down on his knees in front of Trump. Exactly what he did. And now he's been pro-Trump. He's like a sheepdog. Gets his ears scratched by Trump. Well, they thought they were going to get a huge majority in the House of Representatives in the midterm. They didn't do it. Got 222. Takes 218 votes. And here's the way it happens. When they're sworn in first week in January, they vote on a speaker. And the Democrats, now the minority party, will put up their head guy, Hakeem Jeffries of New York. And presumably, the Republicans put up Kevin McCarthy. Does he want to vote within the caucus? But it's by no means unanimous. There are more than 30 Republicans who don't want him. Well, he needs 218 votes. Hakeem Jeffries is not going to get 218 votes. But neither is Kevin McCarthy, not on the first ballot. Bob Good, Republican of Virginia, said that I will never vote for Kevin McCarthy. And let me give you, these people are pathetic. Here's his thinking. Why? Because he felt that Kevin McCarthy did not call him to congratulate him in time when he won a Republican primary. So his feelings were hurt. He has tender feelings, Bob Good does, very tender feelings. So he won't vote for Kevin McCarthy. Andy Biggs of Arizona not only won't vote for McCarthy, he ran against him. He ran against him, trying to take it away from him in their caucus and lost. Matt Gaetz won't. Matt Gaetz, the guy from Florida, won't, because remember when he was being investigated by the U.S. attorney and his fellow traveler, wingman, and running dog pled guilty, it looked like Matt Gaetz might get indicted, and McCarthy seemed to cut him off. That hurt his vanity. Lauren Boebert won't vote for him. Says he's a rhino. And a fellow named Norman from South Carolina that nobody heard from for some reason has some burr in his saddle, and he won't vote for him. That's five. Andy Biggs is considering running against him on the first ballot. In other words, Hakeem Jeffries would run, Kevin McCarthy would run, and these dissidents would put up Andy Biggs. Then nobody will get it on the first ballot. Well, over the weekend, there was a fascinating development. There are people, including moderates, who are saying there's a consensus growing that McCarthy is losing votes every day because he's a very weak guy, right? And they are now saying there's a guy named Tom Cole, C-O-L-E, from Oklahoma, who's not a right-wing nut. He's one of the few indigenous members of the House. He's a member of the Chickasaw Nation. And kind of a quiet guy. He was asked in 2015 if he was interested. He said no. Some of them are starting to look at him. Stand by. We're going to the lines. Gene of Eau Claire, my friend. Thanks for calling, Gene. What's in your mind today?
Well, hi, Matt. You know, I'm hoping for a better New Year this year, but it doesn't look like it's going to be a coming. Might be a little less disastrous, but hopefully if we keep these clowns in order. You know, I have to say, this is like a movie with a bunch of really bad, untalented actors that love the big screen. Getz, Marjorie Taylor Greene. I don't know what in the devil those people have that, you know, people voted for them. I think people don't understand the government. I don't think they understand. They need to start watching committee meetings where they vote on things, where they, you know, the different discussions that they have. Those Republicans, I'm sorry to say, because I used to watch, you know, live, and then finally I couldn't take the Republicans anymore because they had no ideas. All they did was want to run down another person, go after witnesses. Unbelievable. And they have no plans. They have no plans to help America. They have no plans for the border. All they want to do is attack, 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 and get their face on TV. I would love to know what those guys are going to do if they were ever out of office because they have no skills. I mean, I'm so impressed with those people that came in, the young, you know, some of the young Democrats, the older Democrats, outstanding. But they have skills. They have areas of expertise. You know, they use science. I mean, it's like a whole, you've got these flunkies that probably never, you know, their daddies probably paid for them to go to school like they did Trump, and maybe somebody took their tests, and they don't stand for anything. They have no world knowledge, and they're just like actors, and they just want to have a good time. And it's like, boy, I'm hoping Republicans wake up and start getting some decent people that at least have some brains and some ideas instead of these clowns. So anyway, thank you for taking my call, Matt, and you have a great day.
Yeah, thank you, Gene. And, you know, you just reminded me and everybody of something. Mitch McConnell deliberately said 4 years ago they're not going to have a platform because they don't want to get pinned down. What kind of deal is that? Guy comes in, what, interviews for a job or he wants to buy your company? I don't have a platform. I don't have a business plan. These guys have one goal, and that's to get into power. That's all it is. Going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, old Fred Prehn, the dentist from Wausau, finally stepping down. Who's he? Who's Fred Prehn? You may have heard of him. You remember him. On the DNR policy board, appointed by Walker. Term expired in the spring, about 18 months ago. He wouldn't step down, citing a policy where a Supreme Court case decades ago said if a governor appoints someone and they need a quorum and the Senate won't get around to him for a couple of weeks, the previous guy can stay in for a couple of weeks. The Republicans passed lame duck legislation, transferring a lot of Evers' powers to them, to Voss, even though they lost the election. Walker lost the election to Evers. And a lot of Schimmel's, Attorney General Schimmel's powers, instead of going to call who was elected Attorney General to replace him, went to Voss. In North Carolina, they tried it. The court shut it down. Here, we have a Republican Supreme Court 4-3. Not for long. Janet Protasiewicz is running. There's the primary in February for the seat. Great a seat, general in April. She wins, it'll be 4-3, you know, moderate and honest and pro-democracy. But in any event, Fred Prehn, that sly Fred Prehn, was emailing with the state Senate, Republicans, saying, what should I do? And they said, stay on. And then he stonewalled and tried not to produce various emails and messages and all that. Fascism creeps in on little cat's feet. Fred Prehn stayed on for 18 months. You can say, okay, old Fred, Wausau dentist, how much harm can he do? Well, he did quite a bit. Quite a bit. He was the deciding vote, 4-3 majority, to extend the wolf hunt. And it was extended into the breeding season in February. DNR said, no, don't do that. We should have an annual wolf hunt in the fall, and with a certain number of wolves. And no, these hunting clubs from Texas and Kansas lobbied everybody saying they want to come in and shoot wolves. And the Holy Grail is one bullet, two wolves. You shoot the pregnant wolf and you get her pup too. These people are disgusting, in my opinion. Fred Prehn go, okay, yeah, that sounds fine with me, says old Fred. He's drilling teeth up in Wausau, and he's opining on wolf hunts. Wolfman Fred. Wolfman Fred. So many wolves were killed, and they got a circuit judge to go along with them, some Republican judge. A lot of these guys want to be in higher office, and they do this kind of stuff. These are not the brightest legal minds in the state. And Wolfman Fred had them bag some wolves. Then Wolfman Fred said, we don't need limits on forever chemicals, cancer-causing chemicals in our water. Seems reasonable to me to have cancer-causing chemicals in our water. The manufacturers want it. You know, if you've traveled around our state, as I have, if you have relatives in our state, as I do, in Hayward, Wisconsin Rapids, Random Lake, Monroe, the wonder of our natural resources. We have more lakes than Minnesota. The cleanliness of our natural resources has been defiled by people like Fred Prehn, who stood against any kind of emergency action to stop cancer-causing chemicals in the water. And Voss and the Republicans go, well, you have to run all the regs by me. And you go, well, how soon you get to him? Well, you know, some point I'll get to him. We'll get to him some point. There are streams and lakes in Dane County, yes, where a lot of people are listening right now, where you can only, you can't eat the fish, or you can have like one trout a month or something a week, and you're going to be sinking your fangs into a cancer fish. Does that bother anybody in the Republican Party? Does it? I mean, seriously. Any hunters, any fishermen out there? The Eagle River paper, the sports editor, railed against what the Republicans are doing to our water, but they still vote Republican. What, you like drinking cancerous water? You like seeing a wolf hunt with pregnant wolves when the DNR says it's not a good idea? Well, this guy is stepping down finally. And the Republicans now say, oh, we'll give hearings to Evers people. Now that they're, you know, Wisconsin Technical Board, they get no hearing. His cabinets, many of them don't get a hearing. Fascism creeps in on little cat's feet. These people are junior varsity, low-rent fascists. They don't know what they're doing. And that's what you get for voting for him. Oh, wait a minute. It's because of gerrymandering. That's why you need Janet Protasiewicz on the Supreme Court. Judge Janet, you got to have fair maps. Going to the lines. Bill, we're going to go in order. Bill, my friend, Bill of Oconomowoc. Thanks for calling Western Mining Day, Bill. Bill, my friend, thanks for calling.
Yeah, hello, how you doing? I just wanted to see this Title 42 restrictions going out the door, how many illegal aliens are going to live with you, Matt? You know what I mean?
Yeah, hey, Bill, why don't you give us your address? I'll send them to your house. How does that sound? Yeah, thanks for calling in, Bill. You're not Bill of Oconomowoc. I'm happy to have you call in, but we like some formulated question or comment that is, you know, other than something like that. Wisco Paul, my friend, thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Wisco Paul?
Hey, good afternoon, Matt. Thanks for taking my call. First of all, you don't send the illegal, because they are illegal, up to the vice president's house in freezing cold. That's not even funny. And they need to work together to do something at the border, both parties, because it's a mess. But I don't want to get off topic here. I do hope the Democrats look back to 2022 and learn something. They spent money in other states on Republican candidates. The money, I think, could have went to Tim Ryan in Ohio and a third CD, which an insurrectionist won, and also... For God's sakes, you lost to Ron Johnson. Take a hard look at that one. That's and as far as Preen, I'm glad he resigned, but there's many more people, I can't remember how many, that haven't stepped down in 4 years from educational boards that are appointed. And, I mean, hey, give me a break, for God's sake. Tony's going into his second term. I don't know why. So I'm going to go back to one thing here, and I can't help myself with this. The spring election, it's a big deal. It may be the biggest election in the state. Well, they're all big elections, so I guess I can't say that. But the spring Supreme Court election, the Supreme Court judges, you need to get the Supreme Court back to at least fairness. I repeat, fairness. You can't keep going on this state with a Supreme Court the way it is. So, all right, the other guy needs to get some better information on the border, too. He just willy-nilly call in with such BS. All right. Thanks, Matt. Have a great day.
Thank you, Wisco Paul, my friend. Thanks for calling in. And I want to pick up on what you just said, because Wisco Paul is exactly right. Fred Prehn is not the only guy that hung on because the Republican Supreme Court said that, well, the gerrymandered Senate can simply not put people on the docket and then hold over all the administrative people from Walker's administration for another 4 years. That's effectively what they said. It's not just the DNR board, Wisconsin Tech Board. There are a couple of women on there who are chuckling. They go, well, you know, the Senate isn't going to take up our successors, so we're going to stay on too. And then they wouldn't even take up Evers' cabinet people. Well, the law on that is if they don't take him up, Evers can put them in as acting and pay him just like he would otherwise, and they can exercise the duties of the office. So what they did was they lay in the weeds. You could hear the rattles in the tall grass whenever the Republicans caucus. And they go, okay, now Brad Paff, agriculture guy, he's too good. He's too dangerous. So then they held a confirmation hearing on him and voted him down. Once you vote one of them down, they can't stay on as acting. So this is the sneaky stuff they're up to, okay? Very, very sneaky. Now they're going, LeMahieu, guy up in the Sheboygan area, is going, well, now we'll give him hearings. Yes, sir. We certainly will. We'll give him some hearings. What's a hearing? Oh, okay. We know what a hearing is. We'll find a day, maybe 2 years from now, and they will just keep running the state this crooked way. Now, what is the alternative? The Republican Supreme Court said it was okay, relying on a case with a different statute from decades ago that basically said they could stay in a couple of weeks while there was a transition. That was an illegitimate opinion in my view. The three justices, three of them, are also the ones who said that Joe Biden's not president, Donald Trump's president. Election deniers, they voted not to certify Joe Biden, believe it or not, in this state, even though he won the state. One of them is not running for re-election, an open seat. February 24th, I think, the primary, first week in April, the general. It is essential that you have somebody in there who is not an election denier, not an opponent of our democracy, but who stands up for our democracy. And Janet Protasiewicz, my candidate, Protasiewicz. Good, strong Polish name from Milwaukee. I think very highly of her over here. She was a prosecutor for more than 20 years, toughest cases in the DA's office, did a superb job, statewide reputation, two-term judge, one of the best. And she's running for Supreme Court. If she gets in, it is clear from everything she said, bring another gerrymander suit again when I'm on there. Then there will be a 4-3 majority to throw out gerrymandering as unconstitutional under the state constitution and create fair maps. Right now, the Democrats have 11 state senators out of 33, one-third of them. One of the Republicans, Alberta Darling, has resigned, so the Republicans have to run in a special election. We have a good Democratic candidate. But given the votes that come for legislature in the state, we should have 17 or 18, 16, 17 or 18 state senators, Democrats, and we have 11. In the House, the Republicans have almost two-thirds. They're two seats shy of two-thirds in the Assembly. We call it the Assembly in this state. And yet they don't even get half the vote. Fascism creeps in on little cat's feet. Judge Janet Protasiewicz, February 24 primary, she gets in there, there will be a case real quick, and we will have fair maps. So let me be very blunt. People call in, everybody complains, I complain, this one complains, that one complains. You can complain, that and a dollar will get you on the bus. No one cares if you complain. Why don't you do something about it? Why don't you do something about it? Why don't you, for instance, if you don't like cancer in your water in Dane County and also in Rhinelander, Milwaukee, La Crosse, Eau Claire, Marinette, Kewaunee, and all around the state, you don't like it? Why don't you do something about it? You don't like gerrymandering, as I don't? Why don't you do something about it? Vote for Judge Janet Protasiewicz on February 24th. Judge Janet on the Supreme Court will be one of the leaders in a 4-3 majority the other way. We'll have fair maps. It's very simple. Fair maps are on the ballot, pure and simple, in the February primary and the April general. Fair maps. You like fair maps? Vote for Janet Protasiewicz. You don't like fair maps, like a couple of callers? Okay. I respect your right to call me, and you respect my right to respond, then you're going to vote for this guy, Dan Kelly. That's what you're going to get. Going to break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, there is a state Senate race in Wisconsin, 8th Senate District, just north of me, the North Shore of Milwaukee. Alberta Darling Hatch is stepping down. We have a great Democratic candidate. We have Jody Habersynikin. But I want to talk about the Republican primary. They have people coming out of the weeds. There are more of them than you can shake a stick at. One of them is a woman named Janelle Branchen, bad news, from Menominee Falls, real right-winger, pro-Trump, election denier. This slays me. Robin Voss said, quote, he expelled her from the Republican caucus, says, we have a bad actor in our caucus, Janelle Branchen of Menominee Falls. She spent her time promoting election deniers and supporting an illegal effort to decertify the 2020 election. Oh, really? Hey, Gableman, Voss, you heard of a guy named Gableman that you gave $1 million in tax money to do the same thing? You remember that? Remember that? And then he's asked, do you believe that Janelle Branchen is fit to serve in that office, in the assembly? And he said, no, I don't. I would never vote for Janelle Branchen. This is a direct quotation. And then he said, it's illegal to undo an election. It's unconstitutional. Hey, Voss, how about Gableman, Voss? How about $1 million of our tax money, Voss? Now, here's the deal. Obviously, I don't vote in that district, so I can't vote. If you do, obviously vote Democratic, if my recommendation for Jody Habersynikin. But if you're tempted to vote in the Republican primary, you're independent, I hope that Janelle Branchen wins. The rest of them are no good either. None of them are any good. But Janelle Branchen is an out-and-out Trumper. So you Trumpers in there, 30% of the Republican Party, plurality wins. This is not a jungle primary. In other words, it's not like everybody runs and the top two come out. Jody Habersynikin will be our nominee. And the rest of you, I hope you vote for Janelle Branchen, because Jody Habersynikin can beat Janelle Branchen, because a lot of people over here would gag and go, I'm not putting up with this. I'm not putting up with Janelle Branchen. And the ads write themselves. There's Voss, quote, do you believe she's fit to serve? Answer from Voss, I don't. I would never vote for Janelle Branchen. That's a direct quotation. We're going to the lines. Joe Madison, my friend, thanks for calling, Joe. What's in your mind today?
Well, I want to respond to an earlier caller, Bill, I believe was his name, who said to you, well, why don't you just have the illegals come live with you, Matt? Sadly, I think that that guy kind of proved the point that Jeannie had, that many of the Republicans just aren't thinking things through or understanding what government's about. And I would add to this that one of the things that is so delightful and useful and helpful with this show that you've spent so much time creating is that it is information chock full. And I so wish that Bill could sit down and listen and learn a lot. And you said earlier all sorts of reasons to be concerned about some of the actions of Republicans in this state. I would return to this issue of undocumented immigrants, illegals. There is a book that was just published by a reporter from Wisconsin. Her name is Ruth Conniff, and the book is titled Milked. And it is about the relationship between our Wisconsin's dairy industry and undocumented immigrants from Mexico and parts south. The stats are amazing. I mean, it is, they project that Wisconsin's dairy industry will collapse without undocumented undocumented immigrants who work on these dairy farms. 80% of the work on Wisconsin dairy farms, it's estimated, are done by undocumented immigrants. And there is now a relationship between farmers and those individuals in Mexico and parts south who come to do this work. We have in Wisconsin, we rate number one in the rate of farm bankruptcies in the United States, and half of family farms have gone away since year 2000. So looking at the people who are coming north and proving to get up at shoveling manure at 4 a.m., without them, this industry that is central to Wisconsin would collapse. So I just would encourage Bill to stop and think, you know, the glib little line about, would you want them in your house? This whole issue of immigrants and how work is done in this country and who does our work is a rich, thick topic that everybody has to come to the table on. And it's not fixed by saying, well, just have them live at your house. Look at the dairy industry. Look at what they need in terms of workers. And where do they get them? Undocumented immigrants. That's an interesting, thick problem. And it requires government and people to come to the table to seek solutions. And one of the first steps is this show with the information that you can find provided here. So thanks as always, Matt. I really appreciate what you do.
Thank you, Joe. That was magnificent. And that was as informational as anything in the show. And one of the things I'd like to emphasize, because we get a lot more callers than most shows, and a lot of the information on this show is coming from callers, and I really appreciate that. And what Joe said is absolutely right. Who do you think milks the cows? I mean, you don't. You got to milk cows. You got to milk them every day, including Sunday and Christmas. And well over half, and it may well be 80% now, certainly was up in the 60s at one point, and I think it is 80 now, is done by people who come up from Mexico. And many of them are not here legally. I mean, as that phrase is used. I remember talking to people in various political campaigns, and they said, can we get special driver's licenses because we don't like to drive without a license, but we have to get to the farm. And everybody in the Republican Party said no. So what happens now is these poor people are told it's illegal to drive without a license. So go to your job and milk these cows because no one else is going to do it. And just take a chance each day that you may be picked up, number one. Number two, who do you think makes the beds in motels and hotels in every state in this country? Who do you think picks crops and works in foundries and, frankly, works in meatpacking plants? An overwhelmingly large percentage of people who come who are undocumented. The other thing, and I got to leave you with this, is funny as heck. The Texas legislature put in a bill to make it a felony to employ an illegal alien, as they put it. Then they started to talk and they realized, well, we're going to put in exceptions for nannies, maids, cooks, lawn care. And they suddenly realized, you know, dairy, foundries. It was such a long list because they were all covering their own worthless behinds is what they were doing. They stopped. They dropped the bill. They dropped the bill because the list of exceptions was a couple of pages, which covered everything, quote, illegal, end quote, that everybody in the Texas legislature. So it's about time we, you know, you grant work visas, bring people in, treat them decently, make sure that they can drive lawfully, treat them like human beings. And it's not so hard. But everybody in the Republican Party has to go, we'll put them up in your house. Well, no, that's not the correct response. This is a vital thing. We would not have a dairy industry. Joe Madison is absolutely correct. Coming to the end of the show. Great show. Great callers as always. Matt Flynn Direct will be back same time, same place tomorrow. Signing off for today.